the yep. old stuff. He comes up to me and shows me 1938 from I don't even remember what this was, but it was an old Claribel.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was selling it for $450. I'm thinking, 1938, this is early Disney, I mean, yep. really? And he was telling me that the Library of Congress would call him because he had access to all these old cells. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get them and preserve them, which I think is a dynamite thing of my tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And they said they wanted to get a Scooby cell, a Scooby-Doo cell.
Yep.
He said, and they said, well, they go, well, we got about 500, but we probably get it up to $1,000. He says, yeah, he goes, the last Scooby cell that I saw was $17,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going, geez. I've got a Harley Quinn from the 90s Batman. I wonder how much that's worth now, you know? Love the Beetlejuice costumes, guys.
Yep, I mentioned the cosplays coming up, yes.
Yes, Dynamite costumes.
Thank you.
Very few people, I'm sure, recognized.
I do remember the movie, and
I remember watching the
show. I can tell you at the very beginning when they have the accident, they drive over the bridge or whatever, that's in East Corinth, Vermont. That's okay. where they filmed that.
Yep.
I remember at the time hearing about that.
Yep.
That was the little town where they filmed it, yes.
Yeah. But yeah, Alec Baldwin.
Gina Davis,
Davis, yep. Okay. And Winona Ryder.
Yep, Winona Ryder.
And that guy who played Batman later on.
Oh, Michael Keaton, right?
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, okay.
That was his worry. He worried when he did Batman, yeah. he was worried that not only was he going to get typecast as Batman, he was also going to get typecast as Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
That's why there was no Beetlejuice sequel.
Technically, heard they were making a Beetlejuice sequel.
They may be, but it's not going to include Michael Keaton.
All right. And then, of course, Birdman.
Well, Birdman got him. Didn't that get the Oscar for Best Picture? Well, either way, the point was he went and did that as a response to Batman, and he was incredibly happy to be there because of the awards it got.
There was one line that he did in Batman that I heard Beetlejuice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think what it was. It made reference to the... I spent 15 years at Juilliard. And
yeah.
It was that Beetlejuice line.
Okay.
But it was in Batman, he was... Something upset him, and all of a sudden, I heard Beetlejuice come out.
Okay.
Yeah. It's almost 3 o'clock. I want to mention, I'm Bob Nelson, and I am a cartoon fan. I'm also a furry, and I have been on college radio since 1981, so I've got a bit of a DJ voice. And I'm so used to doing all this audio, video, or something like that. And you are?
I'm Jerome Connor. I'm fanboy extraordinaire. First convention was in 83, where, stories to be told from those days on. I've worked just about every position you can imagine at a convention, up to including guests, being a guest, and...
Guest of honor, you mean?
No, I have not had that pleasure yet.
No, not yet.
But, I doubt that's going to happen. I've burnt too many bridges over the years.
All right.
And I co-host a Saturday morning podcast on Facebook.
Okay.
Very good.
I've got some clips lined up now. Uh-oh. I put down this as 1950s to 1980s.
Yes.
I was born in 62, and that's my area of expertise. My first one is actually a music video from 1988.
Yeah, I know this one.
Live action animation combined.
Now, if you're gonna do live action and animation combined,
yep.
Okay, you got to do the one with Tom. I mean, are we
Anchors Jared? Away?
Anchors Away.
If I can find it, I think I can.
Well, she's aged.
Yep.
This was considered groundbreaking at the time.
Yeah. Not too long after Roger Rabbit, 87, 88, around then, about the same time.
The animator for Roger Rabbit did pass.
That's right, Richard Williams, that's right.
If you feel the need to get up and dance, we won't laugh too loud. We will laugh, but not too loud.
Oh. Is that very encouraging?
I don't know who the male vocal is, but...
I think there's just a little too much weirdness in this song.
Yeah.
to you, and you guys are Cool World.
Cool World.
Cool
World.
I think it was another like Kubrick. Oh, Kingdom of Primal.
Oh, Cool World.
Oh, Cool World,
yeah. Yeah.
I thought you said Hulu for a minute.
With a smoking hot Kim Basinger. And I think it was, wasn't it Brad Pitt that was in there?
Yeah, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, a very, very young Brad Pitt.
Was that Boxy?
Why are we talking about the people? Fuck cartoons.
Huh?
It
was okay. I mean, it came out after Roger Rabbit, which was phenomenal. So
yeah.
Anything after that was going
to
be real difficult. They tried to write. Right, and they tried to write the coattails. The problem was the story wasn't very good.
Oh yeah.
Okay. There were sections of it you had to be chemically enhanced to appreciate. You know. Oh God, it is so 80s.
Yeah. There is a panel, I think, tomorrow about live action and animation, but it's almost like TV shows that were all live action segments or animated segments, but what about both? And obviously Roger Rabbit or something like this is what you see. Yesterday I showed a Top Cat commercial from Scotland that had Top Cat, you know, in a bank with Benny the Ball and everything. So, but I mean, this is, you know, when you draw them in and things like that. But again, things like You Ought to Be in Pictures from the 40s,
yep,
with Daffy Duck and Porky Pig.
Yep.
And Mr. Schlesinger at Warner Brothers.
Well, come on. They did the Bugs Bunny did the Robin Hood one.
Right, yeah.
Where they had Errol Flynn at the end.
Yep.
You know, no, it couldn't be. Yeah.
So again, this is late 80s on this one.
I thought this was like about 83.
80, I think I looked it up. 87, 88,
87? Okay.
Something like that.
The 80s were a blur, you know. I rate the 80s by which girlfriend at the time. You know, the 80s were great for geeks. Geeks were coming out as popular and being okay,
yeah,
because the computer industry was becoming something.
Right.
So if you were a geek, suddenly, you know, you could get dates.
No,
you know?
Maybe not.
No. I can attest. I did get dates.
Oh,
not
maybe,
a lot.
Maybe
but I
some
did.
Geeks got dates.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, early 60s, taking the classic
Warner one.
Brothers
yes.
cartoons.
After,
can you turn on the
I'm trying. I'm doing it the wrong way. That one.
Far right one.
Oh, I made it worse. Yeah. Okay, I hit the wrong one. Now,
hang in.
It's in this one right here, right?
No,
not
look. See that button right there?
Oh, there it is. And just moved it. I talked about
just
knowing how to do this.
Just click on the YouTube video down there. And then
there
it is.
There you go. Technology is scary.
Okay. Giant mouse.
Wile E. Coyote. Super.
Why are we suddenly picture?
I don't know.
That was weird.
Click
yeah,
on the
X. Okay.
That's weird.
But
yeah, I love this
show. And?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. The numbers are so screwy on these.
No.
I know. Hit the wrong ones again.
All right. That
I
one
guess.
Right there.
Okay.
That one. Always hit down.
Okay.
Try to, there you go. I'm talking about that. Okay. Okay, so let's talk about Roadrunner for just a second here, okay? When the Roadrunner was created, Chuck Jones had some rules about Roadrunner.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The rule was the Roadrunner couldn't do any harm. He couldn't leave the road.
Yep.
And the only way that the coyote could get injured is through his own incompetence.
Yep.
Or that wonderful company called
Acme.
Which, by the way, the way Acme would deliver stuff, I want you to notice. Do you notice the similarity between Acme and Amazon? Amazon is the new Acme. Just wanted to say that. I'm just putting it out there.
There is a supermarket chain out in Ohio, I think, called Acme.
Acme,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you notice on the Roadrunner, okay, well, what we all laugh at is, did you ever notice that the coyote is a dynamite tunnel painter?
Yep.
You know, and we don't recognize his ability to paint tunnels.
That's
know?
Right.
How about the fact that Roadrunner can somehow go into the painted tunnel?
Again, that's due to the skill of what it is. You know, very
coyote skill.
Time Lord type paintings. You know,
Time Lord type paintings.
Right. Again, the big tradition of Prey and Predator, Tom and Jerry and all that sort of stuff. Trying to catch them. Okay, this is a show from around 66 or so to Patty Freeling, the people that did the Pink Panther. It was a spoof on superheroes called the Super Six. And this one has a snazzy theme song by Gary Lewis and the Playboys, if I remember right.
Meet the men from Super Seven. Half a dozen super strong men who were called the Super Six. Super Six, Super Six, battle criminals and all their evil games. Super Six, Super Six,
come on in, Simon.
Super Six, Super Six.
That we do well, give a lot for Super
You know, there was another superhero group that I think was even better, though. How many of you remember the Mighty Heroes?
Ralph Fox?
You got to show the Mighty Heroes.
I will find that.
Okay, the Mighty Heroes was... it's hard to describe them. Unless you see the opening, it's really hard. And they were one of the silliest superhero groups you could imagine. What do you got there, boss?
I'm going to show. We referred to the Banana Splits and the different cartoons that were on there. This was someone had not heard of the Microventures. The Microventures was only four cartoons, and it was almost like the Fantastic Voyage, where they shrink and get into interesting situations. So this is a couple of minutes long, and it's in Espanol. So deal with it.
So many jokes to be done on this one. Oh, I think I have seen this one.
Yeah.
Yes, I have seen this.
We are stuck in the ants' antler, right? Mandibles.
They do, they is a box.
We are going to shoot the ants.
Thank God. See, I know some Spanish.
Thank you for saving us from the giant ants. Gracias, adios.
Gracias, adios. Thank God.
Oh, adios. Adios.
Okay. Why am I hearing
them? Them!
Conveniently, the clothes shrank with them.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
It would be nice.
We do have certain federal guidelines.
And
you know.
The thing is, okay, someone goes to a different planet. Everyone speaks English. Did you ever see this movie about 10 years ago called Planet 51? This Earth astronaut winds up on a different planet and everyone's stuck in 50 cultures. Everyone speaks English.
Yes.
It's a miracle. And TV show from the 60s, Land of the Giants. They land on a land where people are 12 times normal size. Everybody speaks English. The cars look like they're made by Ford. I don't know.
I see you speak the universal language.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you.
It is.
Okay.
Now, we're referring, I think, either today or yesterday, to the song.
Yes.
It was actually a hit. Let the Sun Shine In.
Yes.
Pebbles and Bam Bam.
Oh, dear God, it's horrible.
Hey, buddy!
What's wrong, Fred?
When will you please get Pebbles and Bam Bam?
I posted this.
But the kids are making an awful record.
Come on, Betty. Let's humor them before they have a fit.
Now, you don't understand, Wilma. The football game is about to start.
All this fuss to watch football on TV sure makes you wonder who the kids are around here.
Oh, but this ain't just any game. It's for the championship.
Oh, never mind, Barney. Let's just watch the game.
Oh, no. See, hey, real rock and roll.
That's not the game. It's one of them teenage shows.
I must have the wrong station.
Well, it is
Bo Bremels. Actual group. Oh no, wait, that's Danny Hutton. Danny Hutton of Three Dog Night.
So long.
Maybe there's something wrong with the tuna.
It's not
the tuna that's out of whack, it's the country.
What is with these kids?
Ed Rock's TV Game of the Year has been postponed to bring you this special program.
Oh, postponed?
Today, we're interviewing the world's most famous teenage impresario, Mr. Epi Bryanson.
Brian Epstein.
My boys, the termites. And myself.
Isn't he in jail?
He's dead.
Oh, I'm wrong. I've seen
it. Oh, okay.
Mutt-lang up
there. Congressman,
rumor has it that you're looking for a new singing group. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not exactly looking, but I'm always willing to listen to good talent.
Talent, he calls it.
Have you any advice for teenagers trying to make good in show business?
Well,
don't do it.
The first thing I'd say is, don't grow up.
Oh, boy, I've heard advice. There ought to be a law. Who's running this country? The teenagers or us?
Looks like they offer it. They're on every station.
Teenage stars. Big. You know, I'm kind of glad we got nice, normal kids with no power. They're lucky.
We're so lucky. We also got a long, dull Saturday with no football game.
This Saturday.
Hey, you want to go on a walk or something?
No. Now you go ahead, Barney. I'll just stay here.
Okay, Fred. I'll go home and mow the lawn. I'll see you later.
I'm Fred. Teenagers are taking over. Us adults have got a chance.
Uh-oh. Here we go with the
dream sequence.
Oh, yeah. Wait, world.
Exactly.
Wilma, turn off the radio, will you, dear? I want to take a nap. Hey, wait a minute. Radio's on the plate. Where's that coming from? Must be some teenagers rehearsing in my yard. Some nerd.
It sounds like teenagers.
Those aren't teenagers. That's Pebbles and Bam Bam.
Definitely a great sequence.
Sunday school favorite song.
Well, this song actually made it to the charts.
Yeah.
And this is a remake.
Yep. I'm wondering who's doing her voice here.
I don't know, there's a link somewhere.
Yeah.
I was reading about it.
I can't believe it! Pebbles and Bam Bam are singing!
And they can't even talk yet!
Say?
Oh, sure. A nice, normal, no-talent kids are gonna make us a fortune!
Yeah, the song we heard earlier, Roses and Rainbows Are You, that was actually Danny Hutton for Hanna-Barbera Records. He later was in a group called Three Dog Night.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, all right. So there's some music. So some of the classic shows we've covered in previous panels that we've discussed. So the 1950s was kind of a wasteland, you know, as television sort of tried to figure itself out. Saturday morning cartoons really didn't get their real oomph until the 60s.
Yeah. Right.
You know, Saturday morning cartoons were things like they would do things like Howdy Doody. You know, reruns of Howdy Doody. They would throw things like Popeye and the Bugs and Daffy and all of them on. It would be a lot of shorts. It wouldn't be actual things. But you would get things like, say, Roger Ramjet, who was black. It was originally a black and white show.
Yep.
And if you want Cold War patriotism, you want to watch Roger Ramjet. But it was there was a lot of stuff involved.
Did you ask who was the voices for that song?
Yes.
It was Rebecca Page as Pebbles and Ricky Page
Her mother is Bam Bam.
Oh, okay.
Who became the Bermudas and the Majorettes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There we go. Thank you.
Thank you. So the 1950s literally was the networks trying to figure out what Saturday morning was going to be. Okay. And what a little known fact was is there were actually four networks, not three that we know today.
Dumont.
The Dumont Network. Yeah. And when did they folded, what, 56, 57? Something like that. And basically, then it became the three networks that we know until right up until the 1990s, wasn't it?
Mid-80s was Fox.
Yeah, okay. So there you have it. What's interesting, though, is as we talk about our great shows, is that every kid that went through the 70s, the new cartoon shows started on the weekend of Labor Day.
Yes.
Okay, because everybody went to school after Labor Day. And that Friday before the Labor Day weekend,
they would have a TV special.
Prime time.
Friday at 8 o'clock or something.
A preview of the Saturday morning shows coming up.
Yes.
With a big ad and TV guide for it.
Yeah, or any comic book show that,
right,
you're,
exactly,
comic that you're reading.
Yep.
And they were hokey as hell.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
God, were they hokey. I still...
By one of the live actors.
Right.
Or
somebody who's famous from one of their network shows,
yes,
especially if your season didn't have live action. And you got to wonder that, you know, somebody made a horrible contract deal, you know, with some of these actions that they had to do. Because you're looking at it, you're going, how can you say that stuff with a straight face?
Yep.
You know, some of the stuff they did. But the popular stuff that you look at and you remember wasn't always necessarily popular when we watched it. One of the popular shows that we were talking about earlier was Hong Kong Phooey. Now, the beauty of Hong Kong Phooey was, I think it was only one season.
Yeah.
But we're still talking about it. Why? Well, the show was basically dumb. But it was the fact that it had Scatman Crothers. And it had a dynamite opening song.
Yeah. Let's see if I can set it up there, yeah.
Nobody can remember what the show was about, but we can tell you for sure about the song.
He transformed into a kung fu guy.
Yeah, well, that's my point. That's about as far as you can remember, okay? But you look at some of those shows. We talked earlier about the Jackson 5.
Right.
You get into a file cabinet to get changed.
Yeah, I know that. Again, in the opening credits.
Oh, this is true.
Okay, but these are the shows we're talking about. But when you ask somebody, well, what was an episode about, whatever, and they go, the opening was everything. And it's to this day we still remember the openings.
Yeah, you know? It was something hot in pop culture. You know, martial arts movies combined with the fact that Joe Barbera loved dogs,
yeah,
and you had Scatman Crothers, who was on Chico and the Man,
Jesus,
and things like that.
Well,
and then The Shining later on.
It was after.
It was also after Bruce Lee with Enter the Dragon and everything else. But what you had was a lot of Chinese and Hong Kong imports coming in that were being shown on afternoon televisions,
yep,
and stuff like that.
And they did have a show with Asians called The Amazing
Chan Clan. Yeah. Oh, God. So wrong. So
here's
wrong.
Another one that's so wrong. This was a Video Craft, also known as Ranking Bass.
Yeah. This is 1950s, too.
Or early 60s, something like that. I think the bad cartoons are more fun than the good.
They are.
It's like Jerry Beck with his worst cartoons ever.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Show
all the
little
myself.
Furry animals here, throwing a party.
I want to know how these animals with the big snouts can do brass bands.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there were cartoons like that, and you mentioned Hong Kong Phooey. And if I can find Super President again, I'll find it. But
no, please, don't hurt me. But yeah, these are some of the funs. But we were talking earlier, like, okay, so what were some of the greats, okay? So we get into the 60s, things like, and one of the shows that we don't talk about nowadays is Top Cat.
Yep.
Okay, Top Cat was basically the Bowery Boys in cat form.
Yep.
Everybody's trying to do a scam, had a dynamite opening, and they're always trying to con the cop, and they're always trying to do a get-rich scheme.
Dibble, yep.
Yeah. So it was very much a 1950s type of show, But I think it was late 50s, early 60s, wasn't it?
Top Cat was 61, 62 right. season.
But it had a great opening song.
Yeah, I'll see if we can dig it up, but I'm yeah, sure we'll yeah. see it. Yeah.
Okay, so there was that.
It was Phil Silvers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Phil Silvers.
It was a Phil Silvers show very
the, the Honeymooners was Flintstones. Was the Flintstones. You could point at whatever inspired
right.
whatever.
So,
Courageous
so,
Cat.
Huh?
Courageous Cat, Minute Mouse.
Yep, 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 yep.
Batman and Robin.
Yep, okay. Yep. How many of you remember Adamant?
Adamant.
Squirrel?
Superhero. Oh, yeah.
Yep, yep, okay.
Underdog.
Underdog? Underdog? Oh, yes, Underdog. The superhero on amphetamines.
Yes.
Okay. We had
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, yes.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Now, the funny thing about Rocky and Bullwinkle is the politics that were involved. If you go back and actually look at the history and the culture at the time, like who was writing what books and who was running for what Congress and everything else, that show takes on a whole new political meaning that just makes it more funnier. Okay?
Bold
Absolutely. Huh?
Yeah. Bold Blues Party?
No.
And in Underdog, they showed this kind of frumpy-looking woman wearing a button that said Barry. That would be Barry Goldwater,
yeah,
the Republican
yeah.
nominee in 1964.
Yeah.
But Underdog, the creator, Ken Harris, was a guest of honor at Anthrocon, and he created that. He also created the Trix Rabbit
mm-hmm.
and a show called The Beagles
yep.
and things like that. But just really, really great. But yeah, Underdog was a classic.
Okay, so who here remembers Tennessee Tuxedo?
Yes. Total Television.
Yep, yep. Okay.
Don Adams.
Yep, Don Adams. All right, how about Deputy Dog?
Deputy Dog, yeah.
Heckle and Jekyll?
Of course.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Terry Toons.
Yep, yep, we're good. Yep. Let's see what else can we remember.
Oh, you're just saying you remember.
They're raising their hands because
yeah, yeah, okay,
I'm
right.
asking who can remember. Okay, so we you know, that was like some of the early stuff. And then in the 1960s, they got crazy with the superheroes. Now, Marvel had just come out with stuff.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, now we're getting to Spider-Man. Okay. But before that, we had Tony Stark. We had Iron Man. We had Thor. We had the Incredible Hulk. We had Captain America. Which, oh, by the way, Captain America has a dynamite opening theme music,
yeah.
About Captain America throwing a shield. But what was funny was that the animation was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And what it was basically, it was just like a stop motion, you know, like something they pulled right. Somebody went, here's a comic book. Do this one.
Yep.
They used the panels as, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was almost word for word. And it was pretty bad. But it got popular. It was really popular. So what did we do? Well, Warner Brothers or DC went, well, we've got this thing called Superman and all that. Well, we can't do Superman. Well, why not? Well, it's Saturday morning cartoons. So we'll do Superboy. Well, we got this thing called the Justice League. Great. Okay, we'll do the Flash. Aquaman, but we got to get a teen sidekick with him, hence Aqualad. And we have this lantern thing guy. I don't know what we're going to do with that one. Okay, and they did all of these Justice League. They did the Atom, and they did all of these. And they were successful. And they were these 15-minute vignette things, okay, on the Superman, Batman, or whatever.
Birdman from
Birdman. Yep, we also had Space Ghost. Not the Space Ghost you know from the modern world, okay?
Space Ghost right
yeah,
there.
A real hero.
Yep.
Okay, so we had that. And then we had Spider-Man, which we all know the classic spot. I'm not singing the song.
Right.
I promise I won't. But I think it went two seasons.
Something like that.
Yeah, and it was popular. And then they cheated a little, and they used... All right, how many of you remember Rocket Robin Hood?
A little bit of the title, maybe. I just thought
no,
I'd never
no,
seen
okay.
the title.
Basically, Robin Hood in space.
Yeah.
Pretty much made by the same people who brought you Spider-Man. Why? Because they used the same stories, almost word for word. They just changed the villains to protect the guilty.
The guilty.
Yeah, it was a really weird show. Arrows that were rocket powered. You know, I'm going to shoot this rocket at the moon because I need to make a message. Well, I don't know. Try
Didn't
a radio.
Disney do Davy Crockett in space?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'd have to look at it.
I vaguely remember something
Pigs
about that.
In space.
Yeah, that was the Muppet Show. That was the Muppet Show. Okay, so Rocket Robin Hood was horrible. They also did in the 1960s King Kong.
King Kong, that was another video craft slash Rankin Bass.
Yeah, and so we did that, right? Okay, yeah. Then...
Godzilla around here, there was the Godzilla cartoon with Godzuki.
Yeah, but Godzilla, though, was in the 70s.
Ah, okay.
Okay, we're still talking the 60s, so
Kong...
No, that's fine. We're going to get to it. But but what we had was we had Kong, because why? Kong was American. Godzilla hadn't made it to the States yet. Okay, that's why you didn't see the Godzilla cartoon until the 70s. Okay. So we had that, And what you had was is all these really fun stuff. But guess what? Some parents lost their minds. They said, oh, it's too much violence. The superheroes are too violent for our kids. Sort of sound familiar? Okay. So what happened? Well, Hanna-Barbera had to come up with a replacement. We hate the ads.
I hate the ads, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't there, because I remember watching it in the 60s, a claymation style, was Davy and Goliath.
Davy and Goliath,
and Gumby and things like that.
Yep. But, you know, it had such a strong religious tone.
Oh, it did, absolutely.
Well, it was.
But that's
Southern
on the opposite
Baptist.
Side.
Right, yeah, no, absolutely. But that one had a lot, that one had a big footprint. Here we go. What's that one?
This is King Kong.
It's
only 10 times.
Channel 25 used to show this in Boston. The Pat Robertson station.
Yep.
They used to do the reruns. This is probably in Japan, maybe they did this.
I don't know.
They did this in Japan. Toyo Studio or something like that. And then it was under the name Videocraft, which again became Rankin Bass.
I love he's shaking his head going, oh God.
Rankin Bass did all those things like, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
those
they did the marionette puppet
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they did all those.
Yeah. So you had that. And then at the same time, you had the imports from the Jerry Anderson world.
Okay? Oh, you had classic theme song.
You had
Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds was the height of it. But you also had Fireball.
Fireball XL5.
Captain Scarlet and the Mysterians.
Joe 90.
Okay, and these were all these marionettes that were really popular in Britain. And they came over to the States, and they were actually pretty popular. And then Thunderbirds showed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rest is history.
And then the South Park guys decided to make
Team America World Police.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
We won't show that. This is a panel for all ages.
So and then in 69, we had the total shift from superheroes and superheroes because, well, there was one other that didn't come out, came out before this next shift was Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Okay. And the funny thing about Johnny Quest was while he was the early 60s, okay, that show kept being rerun all the time. You know? They really went crazy with that show. And Dynamite Music. The music. Yes, Johnny Quest.
I'm trying to think of the comic. I'm trying to say the name of the comic book artist that was the big... yeah, it'll come to me.
Yeah, it'll come to me. So, but then in 69, we had a transformation.
Doug Wildey.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That had to deal with, you know, the parents' craziness, and that was Scooby.
Yeah.
Scooby came along, and Scooby was a dramatic shift in the cartoon world. Okay, you can see it. It's almost a night and day. And we talked earlier about Scooby and about the change. Wasn't originally supposed to be the gang we know today. They were supposed to be a band.
Oh.
Think about that for a second. Who do you think is going to be the lead? Who's going to be the drummer? And who's going to be, you know, hitting the tambourine? Okay?
No, that was the tambourine player.
Yeah. So anyway, so Scooby comes along and is a phenomenal success. So what happens?
Everybody copies it.
There's at least, I counted it when I did for my show, for one of my upcoming shows, we counted at least 13 ripoffs of Scooby. Okay? Think about that for a second. 13 shows that are direct ripoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? We're including the first season of Super Friends as a ripoff of Scooby.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So what happens? So the cartoons come along. Scooby does whatever. They're doing pretty good. We've got a series of popular shows in 72, 73, and then 74, 75, 76, 77 comes along. And what do we get? No cartoons. We get live action.
Well, yeah, there were a few minor ones. Like I played a bit of The Oddball Couple.
Right.
That
right.
was animated.
Right.
Yeah.
But they were horrible.
Yeah. Well, so bad they're good. But yeah.
Right. So what did we get? We got H.R. Puff and stuff. We got Lids. We got
yes.
Sigmund and the Sea
yep,
Monster.
Yep, the Crafts.
We got the Crofts. The Sid and Marty Croft took over. Okay? And they were popular.
Mm.
We cannot deny that they were popular. There was there's a video out on YouTube if you go to it. Kids React.
Oh,
watch
yeah.
watch how modern-day kids react to sit in Marty Cross stuff. It's hysterical. And what was the most, there were two that were the most popular. There was H.R. Puffin stuff, which was in the early 70s, yeah. which, by the way, I still believe you had to be chemically enhanced yeah. to watch it. It adds a lot mm-hmm. to it. And Land of the Lost. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, Land of the Lost was very popular. It went for two seasons.
Okay.
And
I would have thought it'd be Sigmund.
No, Sigmund only, I think, went one season.
Did they do a Land of the Lost?
Are you
90s
sure?
As well?
No, they did it in the aughts, and it was a movie with
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. It was
second season of Sigmund had Sheldon the Genie.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely, I was wrong on that. You're right. Now that I mentioned. I didn't watch Sheldon the Genie.
Okay. Yeah, Sigmund was a spoof of All in the Family.
Yes, it was. It was also not only that, I think it was more of a spoof of Family Affair.
Oh, Beanie and Cecil.
Because you'll notice that one of the kids on it was from a Family Affair.
Yes.
Yeah, Whitaker. Jack Whitaker, yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny
Whitaker. Right? Yeah. Yeah, there he is. Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, this was such a good show.
Billy Barty.
Billy Barty.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so Sigmund's a help monster?
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Northeast Comic Con.
And Johnny Whitaker.
There was a HR.
Yep, there was. You had HR?
Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny Whitaker sang a lot of the songs, theme songs.
Right.
As well.
Right. It was the young girl who died, I think it was because of drug overdose.
Yes.
That was Buffy.
Buffy, yeah.
Okay, so here's HR.
Oh, yes.
HR, puppet strength. Well, screen. Things get rough.
Okay.
HR, puppet strength. Can't do a little because you can't do enough.
Please.
Theme song is three minutes long.
I know. This looks like a lake by the way.
Yeah.
That's the sea, huh?
But
I love that broom.
Broom, broom. An Orson.
I love how she's flying it. Yeah. Look at the video.
And again, McDonald's thought it was a ripoff of their Mayor McCheese, right?
Yep.
Lawsuit.
And off to save the boy they flew. But who would get there first? But now the boy had washed the shore. Up a ride to save the day.
Again, three minute long theme song. They had a theme park for a while.
I know they did. They did.
So. Jack Wilde. Yeah, he was in Oliver, I think.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
That's what he was. Billy Hayes. So tell me, you had to get high to write this thing.
You've got to watch the movie.
I did see the movie.
The movie is phenomenal.
No, it's not.
Okay. You can get into a whole bunch of things like British stuff, like the Wombles and everything, if you want.
So, what?
Is there on the Mystery Science Theater or on the...
No, there is not of HR. Trust me, I wish there was. I mean, you know, they could have done wonders with this.
They did do a Gumby. They did a Gumby, though.
Yeah, they did a Gumby. So HR Puffin stuff started a lot of the live action stuff. And, oh my God. Somebody said that the HR is a dragon, and I got to be honest, they don't look like any dragon I've ever seen.
Yes. But HR stands for His Royal.
Okay. But it got really weird. Weirder than normal.
Oh yeah.
And so it was whether or not we liked it or not. Now it was a success. That show was like all over the place. You know, like you said, yeah, it was a movie.
And there were references to a lot of the current stars.
Yes.
There was Judy Frog, who was Judy Garland.
Mm-hmm.
One of the watches was Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. That show was everywhere, and so that's why Sid and Marty Krofft were so successful and were able to do their other live actions. Then things got even weirder.
Not weirder than
Oh, yes, yes.
Are you going into Lidsville?
No, well, Lidsville was Billy Hayes was the genie, yes. And then you had Charles Nelson Reilly as the magician. And
Butch Patrick as the kid.
Right. But you also had the Bugaloos.
Yep.
Okay. But weirder is even stranger was then you had the Lost Saucer.
Yes.
With
Ruth Buzzy
and Jim Neighbors. Yeah. Oh,
and
Lord.
The Dorts.
Yeah, let's not get into the Dorts. Okay. Then you also had Super Buggy.
Yeah.
You had Electro Woman and Dinah Girl, which that's a whole nother panel. Trust me, we should be doing that as a whole nother panel. Yeah.
Bigfoot and Wild Boy.
Yeah, the less said about that show, the better.
We talked about this morning. I know.
Shazam and Isis. Yeah, that was, again. Those were very popular. So, but what happened? People stopped watching. Okay, they stopped watching, and they were like, well, "What are we going to do? You know, we gotta sell the cereals. We gotta sell whatever." So we came back to cartoons, okay? And Filmation started showing up, and they started doing more of what we liked. The Super Friends showed up. Yeah, they were in the '70s, in the early '70s, but then they became then you started dealing with the Hall of Justice and the Legion of Doom and all that.
We love the Hall of Justice.
Yeah, exactly. Incidentally, side note:
Ted Knight.
Ted Knight was the voiceover there. But so what happens? So after the crazy acid fueled trip of the people in Hollywood, we started going back to the cartoons, and in the 80s, we were getting really good stuff. Like as I said in an earlier panel, the Flash Gordon that they did in the early 80s of Filmation, mm-hmm. the writing on that, the story was if you had the time to follow it because it was done serialized. You had some of the best cartoon work I'd ever seen up until then. But what happened? Reagan comes into office and gets rid of a lot of rules on television. And suddenly, instead of being morality, it's buy my junk. And we had Transformers. He-Man, which was another subject I think needs to be another panel on itself. And it just came, and then we started doing the imports from Japan. And basically, that was the end of the Golden Age. And we came into the more modern age, which again has its own strengths and weaknesses. But I think that's basically your history. Mm. Who had your favorite? Anybody had a favorite back in the '60s, '70s, or the '50s?
'50s, '60s, '70s, '80s.
Yeah.
Anything from the Crops was good. I mean, Puppet Stuff, Huntsville, and we were just talking about it. Puck and stuff. Oh, Sigmund.
Sigmund, okay.
Those three were probably my all-time favorites.
All right. Anybody else?
When did the Looney Tunes become kid entertainment?
In the 1960s. Stuff, right? What happened with the Looney Tunes was most of the Looney Tunes that you know is actually 1940s. Okay? And they did edit some of it, but not all of it. If you really want to see something that's going to make you squirm, and I got in trouble for it. No, this is a serious one. There's one where Bugs goes to the South, to the Deep South.
Oh, yeah.
And Yosemite is basically a Confederate soldier. They did something with slavery, a reference. And I am talking full-blown racism here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it showed for years on television. Okay? And I'll be honest, I was blind to it for years. Okay?
I noticed sometimes it's... Some of the cartoons even now, you can see, you remember when you were a kid, and then you look and it's like, wait, they cut a scene out of here.
Right. Yes. And they did. And they cut anything, and I'll say what they did, anything pertaining to sex, they cut out. Racism or anything like that, no. However, they did keep Bugs in drag. I do want to remind you about that. But look, so what happens is that Bugs Bunny is and Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry are all part of that 1940s time frame with the going to the movies. You know, your parents would go to the movies, they'd get a short, whatever. And if you watch some of those, especially the war ones, there's some pretty adult themes in there. So what happens? The parents come back from war or whatever the war is done. Now in the 1960s, the parents when they were in their 20s are now in their 30s and 40s. They're looking at it going, and you know what, this is kind of kids. By the way, that's a Dynamite episode.
I know, that's what we're going to show.
I was just going to say.
So,
awesome
what happens?
Episode.
They don't think of this stuff as adult anymore. They think of it as kids. And that's when it becomes kids because the perception has changed as to, from the parents who watched it as kids going, oh, this is kid stuff. You know, I watched it as a kid. You must be okay. You know, I didn't turn out okay. So,
go ahead.
Three Little Bops.
We need to see that one.
Yeah, this
now,
is three.
I'm not sure if this is 4 minutes long. I don't think it's
no,
the
no,
entire
don't
cartoon.
Play the whole thing. Don't play the
Well, I'll just play a little bit of it. Yeah. But this was Friz Freleng.
Yep.
It was narrated by Stan Freeberg. And, well, you'll see. I don't know if this is the whole thing or what.
No, it's not. I don't know. I don't think so. Let me see it here. And the music is really, this was a first time people got into jazz.
See, I think Warner's might have demanded to be taken off or something.
Did they?
Well, no, let's see.
Yep. Buffer. Yeah, it must have.
Yeah, maybe we will get a little bit of it. I know, I was warned about it.
Yeah,
you never know what
the
Wi-Fi is.
It's the buffering.
That was kind of bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
At one point, the piano pig quotes Liberace, who used to say, "I wish my brother George were here."
Yeah.
But the question is, how many people in this room remember Liberace?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so the thing about the field,
I'm being cursed by trying to play copyrighted
stuff.
Allowed.
So you had, like I said, the Liberace comp.
Yeah.
But this was like a first experience to jazz music.
Yeah, exactly.
So that kids have, kind of like when the Looney Tunes did opera.
Yeah.
How many of us still remember Wagner?
Or
the Barber of Seville? You know, with the Rabbit of Seville.
There actually have been presentations of Looney Tunes. You know, to help, you know, like the classical radio station will say, come to the Somerville Theater and see classic Looney Tunes about the Barber of Seville.
I didn't know Leopold Szyszynski was a conductor until I saw that commentary in Looney Tunes.
What, were you expecting a happy ending?
Looney Tunes is credited with spreading a lot of awareness of classical music.
Yes, very much so.
The younger generation, that's where people most...
Yeah. If you want to see something interesting, there's a YouTube video of a girl playing the piano stuff that Tom and Jerry did.
Yeah.
There's a classical one.
The Cat Concerto.
Yeah, and she plays the entire thing really well. And you got the cartoon here, and you're watching the cat play, and you're watching here, and you're watching her play, and you're just going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, they did. They spread a lot. I mean, to this day, I mean, I can't listen to Wagner without seeing, Elmer. Okay, or the Barber of Seville without, you know, seeing that whole thing, you know. Yeah, exactly, the hair. But yeah, they did a lot of classical music. And that's part of why Disney did Fantasia also. Because Warner Brothers had been doing that for a while now. Why? Because it was cheap and easy. They didn't have to pay for the music. Okay? By doing classical music, you don't have to pay rights. Okay?
Carl Stalling probably did the arrangements, though, for almost
all. Oh, yeah, but he was under contract.
Right, but if you can find the CD, the Carl
Stalling Project. Oh, dynamite.
All those musical cues from all the classic.
And what's great about that album is that it also has the, cut, no, we got to bring them, and you hear them actually learning how to, you know, to do the music and in the orchestration. It's a dynamite album.
I've got two copies of it.
The first time I bought it was on cassette, and I went, "Yeah, screw this, I gotta get CD." So, so that's the answer to your question. I hope did we answer your question for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions about classic cartoons of that time?
Actually, I wanted to bring it up. Just the whole censored content. I know that there was like DVD releases where they had a preface at the start of it saying that we are putting all these out there in their original context.
Yeah, because
know that they are wrong now, but they were.
Yeah.
This is how they were when they came out.
Well, what happened was when videotapes first came out, okay, and everybody was basically releasing every content that they could think of, they released some of these Warner Brothers ones that were edited. And you could see the horrible editing job done, because it had been done back in the 1960s, where kids were not paying attention. Because why not? I'm eating my sugary cereal. I'm not paying attention to edit cuts, and I don't know what that means as, you know, as a 6 or 7 year old. But as the adults were collecting this stuff because of what they wanted, they were going, this isn't right. We're missing something. And you could see like stories were missing, whatever. And so when the DVDs came out, the people were buying it, saying, you've got to put the entire things out there or I'm not buying it. And that was a serious outlay of money that the studios were looking to do. Okay, so they said, all right, we'll put it out there, but we got to put a warning on, because the lawyers say if we don't, we're going to get sued. And that's why you got that, is the lawyers were involved in that. Because some of that stuff is downright racist. You look at the World War II stuff, and you just cringe at what they do. But it served a purpose back then. But
didn't Donald and Disney take on Hitler?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. The Fuhrer's face.
Yeah. And then Bugs took on Japan.
Yep.
Okay.
They had something called the Ducktators.
Yep. You go look at, find Super Rabbit.
Yeah.
And there was an episode where they were, where Bugs is dealing with a gremlin.
Yep.
You know, some of the stuff really, and then there was Red Hot Rock and Robin, Riding Hood.
Yeah.
And some of the sex on that.
Yeah.
there were
ones like Coal Black and De Seven Dwarfs. Racist, but the music was really good.
Yeah.
And they actually involved black musicians, and they did it gladly.
Wait, the problem was this. This stuff was aired in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And into the 70s, and we never notice it. To this day, we look at it and we laugh at it. And we're going, but as adults, we're kind of going, cringe. Yeah. It's our childhood, but cringe.
Yeah.
You know? So what happens? So what happens is we stop airing this stuff in the 1970s. Why? Well, it's not getting the play that we did. That's why the Sid and Marty Krofft stuff. That was there because, remember, business. We're talking business. They're getting kids to buy the sugary cereal.
I've got a commercial online coming up in a minute.
Let's go ahead.
Let's do a commercial break now. Some of the Hanna-Barbera characters, the Warner Brothers characters, did appear in commercials. This one is going to feature, I want to say...
Jinx and Pixie.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of... you've got Don Messick and Dawes Butler doing the voices here. Mm-hmm. And a Beatles reference, I believe. So, 64-ish, 65. Any time now. Countdown.
Well, we're doing the countdown.
This is a California Raisin Ranch.
Don Messick.
And this is a Kellogg's Raisin Bran Raisin Rancher. Sir, could you tell us why the raisins in Kellogg's Raisin Bran are the sweetest?
Like, you want to take notes or something?
Well, yes.
Okay, here they are. California style. Rich ripe raisins from California sun. Made Kellogg's Raisin Bran the race sunniest one.
Race sunniest
one.
There's one more verse.
Kellogg's golden toasted bran is flavored in places only Kellogg's can. Flip up raisins. Yeah, golden bran. Wow. Raisin bran sure is fine. It's all like California.
Disclaimer, the Beatles were not from California.
Really? You don't say.
So,
the Beach Boys were, but...
Yeah. So the 1960s comes along, and we've got this basically phenomenally golden age of stuff that we're talking about to this day still. The 70s was kind of a barren wasteland. Yeah, we're talking about Sid and Marty Krofft, but most of that stuff, nobody can remember what it was except for the bizarreness of it. You know, I can tell you Scooby-Doo and Superman and Superboy and all the stuff from the 1960s. I can tell you every single episode that's involved because it was memorable and well-written.
You see, I'm in the opposite way because I never watched any of those, but I could tell you each and every Sid and Marty Krofft puppet stuff show. And
I see a pen was to hit him. Okay. So the 70s were fun. And then the 80s got into some really good stuff. He-Man became a phenomenon. If you really want to see about
He-Man,
He-Man
and the Masters of the Universe.
The Netflix has a documentary about toys of our children. I don't know if you guys saw that. Oh, there we go. This one's.
I know we're leaping around. We got to go back to the 60s.
Oh yes.
The man that did all this music for I know. Jerry Anderson, thank you.
Yeah.
Was Barry Gray, and he also did Space 1999, if you remember that theme song.
Oh, yeah.
This is Thunderbirds.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Team America is go. Awesome music.
Mm-hmm. See,
yeah.
The music of the shows.
Yep. Strings.
I know they've done a new version.
Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Like Faye Dunaway or something.
It's actually what Sylvia Anderson looked like.
Oh,
yeah. When I talk about Sylvia Anderson.
Color, yeah.
Wait for it. There we go. Gotta blow something up. So in the Thunderbirds, something always had to blow up, okay?
So this is where Michael Bay got us.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking inspiration here.
You watched that growing up.
All right, so a couple of notes on Thunderbirds. First off, one of my favorite shows of all time, I have to say, Amazon's got a new from the BBC, I think not from BBC, but from one of the other, but they've done a more modernized version, which is really good. I recommend you find it on Amazon Prime. If you look at the names of all the kids, do you notice anything unique about those names?
All the same last name? Or?
No, well, of course they're all the same last name. They're kids.
No, but what, Scott? I mean, all the different names.
Yeah, all those first names.
All the first names, yeah.
Mercury 7 astronauts.
Oh, right.
They're all named after the Mercury 7 astronauts.
Scott Glenn,
Virgil, et cetera. Wow. No, they're named after the Mercury 7 astronauts. Okay?
Wow.
Because that's the time after that. The other thing is if you look at Lady Penelope, okay, Lady Penelope was done by Sylvia Anderson.
Yep.
Now, Sylvia Anderson worked really close with her husband, Jerry Anderson. And she was notorious for, she did a lot of fashion. Now, those of you who've ever seen the show UFO, the purple hair of the girls on the moon, you can thank her for that. Okay? Also, the fact is, if you remember the early days of HBO, okay?
Sorry.
We'll get to that in a second.
The
early days of HBO, Sylvia Anderson was responsible for all the concerts and the modern day concert film that we see on cable channels.
Yep.
She was basically the one who got those in the comedy shows and all that as we know them today. And she was really influential in a lot of stuff. Jerry Anderson, though, this entire thing, his stuff was incredibly popular. It's still incredibly popular in England today, the Jerry Anderson. All right, let's move on to the
okay, Hong Kong
74.
74, Hanna-Barbera, ABC.
Who is this superhero? Sarge? No. Rosemary, the telephone operator? No. Henry, the mild-mannered janitor?
Really?
All this great music by Hanna-Barbera, Hoyt Curtin, and things like that. I mean, take a show like the Roman Holidays, catchy theme song.
Yeah, and the funny thing about the Hong Kong Phooey is, if you've ever seen it, is that the guy can't do a thing without consulting a manual. You know, he's going to give the Hong Kong Phooey chop, and he's got to look at the manual on how to do it. It's kind of the running joke that he was the most incompetent hero there was, because the cat was the one who constantly saved everything, which you've noticed in the... But what was interesting was with Scatman Crothers, you know, you had all that scat going on at the beginning,
yep.
And that nobody was exposed to that before. Boy, you barely don't know how to hit the pause button.
I know. It's all
auto start.
At one point after they made the Flintstones, they were thinking of doing a show that took place in Roman times, but they decided, nah, so they did the Jetsons instead. But then they did this. Roman Holidays.
I don't think I've ever seen this one.
72?
Oh,
I
yes,
think.
I have seen this.
See, they got Roman numerals.
Yep.
Channel IV.
Still very Flintstone.
Hourglass.
Traffic jam.
Yeah, still very Flintstone like. You lift
my
little arms.
Yeah, 72. And get ready for this. The landlord was known as Evictus.
Right.
That shows the sort of humor they had.
Okay. So, yeah.
Your steampunk will now be classified as Sparta punk.
Ah, that's right, yeah.
Oh. All right, throw this thing out.
All these shows when I was like 10 or 11 years old, you had the Barclays, which was a canine version of All in the Family. You had the Hound Cats with these cats and dogs, including R.D. Johnson. You had Inch High Private Eye.
Yeah, that was another ripoff of Scooby and Crew.
Exactly.
But you also had, do you remember in a show called Wait Till Your Father Gets Home?
Yep, I played a little bit of that yesterday, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That one was Tom Bosley before Happy Days.
Okay, so what you have now is you also have in the 70s is, you know, they're running out of ideas.
You don't think.
Okay, so what do? Well, we got to steal some from prime time. We can't be obvious about it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So we
Captain Caveman.
You bet.
You want that? Okay.
But notice, who are his sidekick?
The angels.
The teen angels.
Like Cat Charlie's.
Yeah. Charlie's Angels.
What happened there?
I don't know.
Now the constant companion of the teenagers, Bender, Dee Dee, and Tappy, get out of
Paris
and some
fine
scary mystery missions. Get ready for
it's almost like Cousin It.
Yeah, it is
Cousin
It.
Yeah.
So Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, so it was a takeoff of Charlie's Angels, but we can't be obvious, you know?
That wasn't obvious.
Well, yeah, but if you think about it, if they'd done a Charlie's Angels, what would the lawsuit have been like? Okay. And also, what would have been the critics of certain parental groups? They were already ticked off about Charlie's Angels already. Suddenly now I'm doing Charlie's Angels as a TV show. Now here's a truly forgettable show.
Oh, geez. Mystery
Solvers. Yes, Mystery
Solvers. And a rehash of Hair Bear Bunch, maybe?
Yes. Come on, you couldn't get much more of a rehash.
Hey, those guys.
Welcome to CB Radio Culture.
So they're reminding me of the Hair Bear Bunch.
Yes.
Another great theme song, too.
Every Holly's character seemed to have like a little bit of something else from somewhere.
Well, yeah, they have to because
like Wacky Races character.
All the Wacky Racers, one of my favorites. Yeah.
This one here, by the way, was 72 from DePatie Freely and NBC, and it was like, oops, sorry, Doug Goodwin, let me turn you down. It's like Mission Impossible. This will self-destruct in 5 seconds, and you had. Among the voices was Joe Besser,
yep.
From the Three Stooges, and Artie Johnson. Trying to remember who else. Otto Ray, Stu Gilliam. So, you know, you had that. Like I said, you had that and the Barclays and all that. So, DePatie Freely had some of these shows. Mr. Jaw, featuring Artie Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha!
So we also had somebody mentioned earlier about the Wacky Racers. Who remembers the Wacky Racers?
Wacky Racers.
All right. Yeah. Now, what's funny? Hang on a second here. They a few years ago, one of the car companies did something with the Wacky Racers. Hang on a second here. I want to see which one it is.
Is it an ad or something?
Yeah, it's
or
an ad. It's an ad.
What should I type in?
Just type in car ad.
Okay.
Here's where no. There it is.
Okay.
Ooh. You gotta watch this one. This is dynamite. Mm-hmm. All right, let's make sure. Yeah. Here we go. It's Peugeot. Sorry.
Copyright Hanna Barbera.
Well, the Anthill Mob.
Oh my gosh!
I never saw this. I never saw this.
Awesome.
It gets better.
Peter Perfect and the Red Baron. Oh, jeez. Hey, my brothers. Hey, all right, dastardly.
Oh, wait.
Triple Drat.
This is a long commercial.
It
is. 44.
But Penelope's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, there he is.
Mudley.
Okay.
No hablas.
All right.
Doesn't
that
matter.
One's going to have to go on my face.
Okay, so I don't know about you, but I wanted to go buy a Peugeot after seeing it. So, okay. Now, there's another one. I'll have to find
like
it for the next one.
Speaking of cars, now, a lot of us are familiar with Speed Racer, the you know, with everything in English and things like that. Well, I got to find Japanese.
Please, can you show the movie? Please.
Oh, no, definitely not. This is the Japanese opening, and we were doing this during karaoke last night, but this is great. I mean, the original version, everyone knows the English language version. This is the original, though, in Japanese.
Yeah.
It's longer. Mid-60s on this one. Cartoon Network would show this once in a while, the Japanese version. I think go is 5 in Japanese,
yes, it is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
And it's a lucky number, number 5.
I'm sorry, it's good, but it just kind of touch me.
Go, 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 go. Perfectly timed. Again, this is expanded.
Yeah.
We did not get this in the American version.
No. We jump over the elephants. I love it. Oh, yeah, I love those guys.
Tear along the highway of justice. This and Kimba and Starblazers all had great theme songs.
Yeah,
among others.
Yeah, we need to do the same.
All right.
Okay, well, we're just about done here. But you know,
we've got a little time, but we can wrap it up.
One other Japanese thing that was live action that I don't know how many, if anybody around here saw it. How many of you remember Johnny Sacco and his Amazing Robot?
What was it?
Johnny Sacco and his Amazing Robot.
Johnny Robot. Well, it appears that it was a very regional thing, because when I was living in South Carolina in the 1960s, I used to watch it as a kid. And what was funny about that, it was also about the time Ultraman was being shown as part of Saturday morning cartoons, was the kid was shooting real bullets. And the parents and the people around him were smoking. So again, 1960s.
Okay.
You know?
I want to say I've heard a reference to this in something.
There you go.
Somebody mentioned Johnny Sacco.
Johnny Sacco and his flying robot. The complete series.
I remember this.
They did a movie.
I seem to remember the series.
I want to say John Waters talked about it in that episode of The Simpsons.
And mind-blowing heroics. Collector's edition sets featuring a 16-page book with essays and rare photos.
Essays!
You have a lot of courage for a boy your size.
Join Johnny and his giant robot for this classic, epic sci-fi fantasy series.
That was the end of the series right there.
Johnny Sacco and his flying robot, the complete series.
Okay, so
can we say Big Hero 6?
No. This is at the same time that this was out, there was also Ultraman.
Okay. Which, I've heard of
that. Yeah, Ultraman was phenomenal. I remember as a kid, we would play around wanting to be Ultraman. And you can see where the Power Rangers gets it all. That had such an influence. And to this day, people in the industry talk about Johnny Sacco. They made a movie out of a couple of some of the episodes, and for those of us who grew up in this area in the 1980s, it was shown a couple of times on the Creature Double Features that time frame. So as you can see, there was a lot of weird stuff growing up from the 50s, 60s. Yes, go ahead.
Since we brought in a bit of Japanese animation over here, going the other way, you know about the Spider-Man that was in Japan, right?
Yes, I'm aware of that. But it doesn't cover the 1950s to the 1980s.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But yeah, Spider-Man was everywhere.
Specifically the one where he had the giant robot.
Yes. They make reference to it in Ready Player One, by the way, if you read the book.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of stuff going on at the time. They at one point even had the Adam West Batman considered as Saturday morning cartoons. Mm-hmm. And if you were really lucky in your market, you got to see also the Green Hornet as part of Saturday morning cartoons. And you got to see Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, yeah.
Before Bruce Lee was Bruce Lee.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
before
Bruce Lee. And it was actually a sequence in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with him.
Yeah. And what was interesting though about with the Green Hornet though is that if there's an episode where Batman and Bruce and the Green Hornet do a crossover, and there's a scene where they're standing off against each other. Well, you know, Green Hornet against Batman, Kato versus Robin. Well, apparently,
jeez, Robin's going down.
Apparently, nobody told Burt Ward
that
it's okay. Bruce is not going to kill you. Burt Ward was terrified beyond words, apparently. So, because Bruce was so fast, you know.
You know, we are going to wrap it up, but yes. I was going to say that, you know, we could do a whole panel on things like the really bad cartoons and everything. We haven't even mentioned Clutch Cargo, which had, like, the real lips moving and things that.
Yeah.
Again, that's one of the Jerry Beck's, you know, worst cartoons ever.
Yeah.
And, he had so many that were...
There's just so much. I mean, you could do an entire panel on just the Jerry Anderson stuff. You know? We did not mention the Harlem Globetrotters, thank you. We did not mention Gilligan's Planet, the Partridge Family in Outer Space. We did not mention the Osmonds. The less said about the Osmonds, the better. Or you're not doing that again.
No, this is Mr. Titan.
Oh, okay.
This was one of Jerry Beck's worst cartoons ever. Get tipped up with Titan. I think you had to see this in class, maybe? This is
oh my God.
Everybody
horns. Like 3 minutes, but I can stop it.
Yeah. And you wonder why baby boomers are screwed up in the head today, okay?
And then they have a bunch of exercises and everything. Jerry Beck had something going for a while called Cartoon Dump, which featured some guy named TV's Frank from Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
And they were showing things like that, and Bucky and Pepito and Super President and all these other things.
Oh, your God.
When they go to Comic-Con, which has about 100,000 people, he does this thing every year called World's Worst Cartoons. And that's the sort of...
Some of the stuff was really, really good and really, really bad. Like I said, we didn't talk about some of the others.
He also does a show on best cartoons.
Yeah,
so.
And the funny thing is we could go for on and on because that era there was just so much stuff that you would get 13 episodes and then you're done and then you might get a summer replacement and you're not doing the president again.
Well,
are you? You are.
Well, just
Chris Reeling is one of the.
That's Jerry Beck.
Of the Warner Brothers Looney Tunes cartoons. He created the Pink Panther and won numerous Academy Awards. Unfortunately, he's also the producer of Super President, a 1966 TV cartoon that's about a weapon of mass destruction. A superhero whose secret identity is, he's the president. You know who he is?
We decided not to show this to the current
that's Mike Pence.
White House. Jerry, he's bringing Carl Rovian-like things all around the world.
So this cartoon is actually pretty contemporary.
So that's very popular. I've never been to Comic-Con, but I've heard it's very popular.
Yeah, we're not showing this to the current occupant of the White House. I think he'll get ideas.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so I guess at that point...
Yep, we got 4:12, so,
thank
we
you
got 15
much,
minutes
Jim,
to sort of get the stress. All right, this is great.
This
excellent.
Is
no problem.
Good,
thank you. All right, and we've got more panels coming up. We've got things tomorrow and so on as well.
Tell your friends about this convention so we can
have
more of them.
Oh, yes, definitely. All right, thanks.